Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on Live Talk, we are looking at the challenges facing Zimbabwe's health delivery system. But first, let's take a look at what is happening in the Middle East. American Muslim groups say that the Biden administration's efforts to combat a rising Islamophobia in the United States must go hand in hand with the protection of civilians in Gaza from Israel's retaliatory strikes against Hamas that have killed thousands of Palestinians. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wandakuswara has this report.
Incidents of Islamophobia are on the rise following Hamas' October 7 attack on Israel, including the killing of a Palestinian-American boy last month, allegedly in a hate crime.
A 71-year-old man sitting on top of a 6-year-old kid, stabbing her more than 26 times.
As the war in Gaza intensifies, Islamophobia and anti-Semitism in the U.S. have increased. The administration released its national strategy to counter anti-Semitism in May. It said it has long worked on a strategy to counter Islamophobia.
This is an administration that's taken action not just the last couple of weeks or the last couple of months, but started this process back in December of last year.
It is important for the White House to develop a plan to combat Islamophobia, but that plan must begin first and foremost with calling for an end to the Israeli government's bombardment of the Gaza Strip. That violence in Gaza is what is fueling unrest and bigotry around the world, including the targeting of Muslim Palestinian Americans.
The White House denies that the announcement of its Islamophobia initiative was done to placate Muslims angry at President Joe Biden's unwavering support for Israel.
This strategy is born from a genuine desire to go after the kind of hate in America that could lead to real threats of violence against real people.
Some Muslims have threatened to mobilize votes against Biden in the 2024 presidential election.
We stand for war. And because of that, we have abandoned you in your war, and we stand for the children of Gaza. Abandon Biden.
Many Muslim groups believe Biden and his Democratic Party have taken their vote for granted.
There are different ways we can address that problem. I don't see us allowing a Trump presidency, for example, to be the answer.
Former President Trump, the front runner in the Republican primary field, said last month that if reelected, he will send officers to pro-Palestinian rallies to arrest and deport immigrants who publicly support Hamas and reinstate travel bans from terror-plagued countries. Patsy Wandakuswara, viewing news at the White House.
Jewish, Muslim, and Christian communities gathered Wednesday night at the University of California, Los Angeles to hold a vigil for peace that mourned lives lost in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict over the last month. Reporter Genia Dulot was there.
Organizers of the vigil at UCLA asked that no one brings flags or signs to grieve together for those who have died on both sides of the conflict since October 7. Professor of Jewish history David Myers says there must be an end to the cycles of violence that are fueled by the joint traumas of Jews and Palestinians.
In the vigil that we're holding, we want to bring together people who can recognize the humanity of the other, who can recognize the suffering of the other, not just the suffering of their own, to create a space that's so rare in this world, so rare in this country, and certainly so rare in Israel-Palestine, where people hold on to the humanity of both.
co-organizer Salam Al-Marayati is president of the Muslim Public Affairs Council.
I'm here in solidarity with the Jewish and Muslim and Christian communities to stand for peace, to pray to God for a way out, because man, humans have not figured a way towards peace in the Middle East. They've only figured out how to launch more wars and more suffering. So maybe here we can create something that will be a contribution to making peace.
U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland says there has been a significant increase in threats against Jews, Muslim, and Arab Americans in recent weeks. Many of those threats have been on college campuses.
In New York State, Cornell University student Patrick Dye
remains in custody on federal charges after making online threats to kill Jewish students at the school. At UCLA, student Rachel Burnett says she's seeing a lot of tension on campus over the war in Gaza.
What we tried to bring here today was a source of unity and not division, because I think you're hearing a lot on the news about the division and the divisiveness, but we're not hearing about the unity and togetherness. And so it was really important to me to show that I want this to be the message of college campuses, is a, you know, joint prayer, joint mourning.
Palestinian American Aziza Hassan is executive director of New Ground, a Muslim Jewish community building group. She says it's important to grieve together.
Really hold space for the pain and take a look at it directly with each other, because our destinies are intertwined, whether we like it or not, and we have to find a way through this, and we have to find a way to see and witness one another's pain.
By grieving together, organizers say they're hoping to keep down tensions between local pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli supporters. Jenny Adulo, VOA News, Los Angeles.
And now, back to our main topic of the day, where we are discussing the country's healthcare system and the challenges it is facing. Addressing graduates at the Saleh Mugabe Central Hospital Schools of Nursing and Midwifery, the Health and Child Care Minister, Dr. Douglas Mombeshora, pledged to improve the lives of nurses through improving their conditions of service and bettering their remunerations.
Today, I feel greatly honored to officiate at this 65th graduation ceremony for Saleh Mugabe Central Hospital. It is with great pleasure that today we are witnessing the graduation of 137 registered general nurses, 6 operating theatre nurses, 5 intensive and coronary care nurses, 9 pediatric nurses, and 66 midwives. The above can best be achieved by well-trained, knowledgeable, committed, and skilled nurses and midwives. It is a well-known fact that at any health institution, the first medical professional who attend to patients and clients is the nurse. It is therefore very important that these cadres be well equipped with the knowledge and adequate skills to ensure that we have a healthy nation. I'm also pleased to inform you that the government is aware of the critical role nurses play in our health delivery system all over the country, especially given the challenges of shortages of resources, the emerging new diseases, and the absence of non-communicable diseases which are being treated in our health institutions countrywide. And I can assure you, as the new Minister of Health, and with the team that I'll be working with, the Permanent Secretary and all our Chief Directors, that we'll do all our best to make sure that we work tirelessly to improve both your remuneration and your non-monetary benefits, and make your working place a pleasant place to work from.
That was Health and Child Care Minister Dr. Douglas Mombeshora in Harare. Studio 7 spoke to Otilia Mudimba from Binga, who graduated as a nurse today.
My wife, Ben, you are still born as a nurse. Zvaka kwadi iri basa ramada kupinda naro vamwe vanoti basa rinorema vamwe vanoti munhu ari bhadhari kari singabhadhari nechanotsvaka rimwe kunze kwenyika imimi tichienda mberi zvii zvazvingatarisirawo kubva kwamuri
inini basa iri tirikuona tindakatosa kusunungura vamai kubva vanenge vakazvitakura kusvika vanopona saka ndichiita basa iri ndiritoita serving the Lord and ndiripo kubatsira vamwe majinias vachazoda kuita basa iri
tatenda tete makorokoto mama muri kunzwa sei nemawo dzaawana
mwana ini ndiri kufara ndiri kushaya kuti ndobhururuka here nemwana watigonera kudai ndinonyanya kutenda mwari zvakanyanya kuti ndimwari vanogonesa uye mwari kana vakudanira basa vanokuita kuti uve musoro kwete musi saka izvi zvinoratidza kuti ndimwari pachavo uye ndinovatenda chaizvo
thank you so much mama baba muri kunzwa sei nezvaaita mwana izvi
mwana anarisi ndinotenda mwari uye mwana anoda mwari satinovimba kuti ndimwari vamubatsira chandinoshuva ndechekuti vemari vachimubatsira kuti arambe achienderera mberi zvichena bcause chishuvo chedu ndechekuti ave neunyanzvi huri pamusoro chaizvo kudarika zvaari saka ticharamba tichimubatsira tichimukusha kuti asvike panzvimbo yakati kurei uye abatsire vamwe vakawanda kupfurikidza njere dzake uye unyanzvi hwake
That there was Otilia Mudimba and her family speaking with Tobias Mudzingwa of Studio 7 in Harare. Tobias also spoke to Blessing Gatsi, a male nurse who had this to say.
Yeah, I've won a certificate for general nursing, so I'm registered general nurse in Zimbabwe. Yeah.
How are you feeling, Mr. Gatsi, after attaining this certificate? And you know, this profession is usually associated with women, but here you are, Mr. Gatsi. Tell us more about that as well.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's not all about gender, right? But men have got some kind of innovation which they put in, you know, in the field. You know, so we need both males. That's why it's even in medical facilities such as, you know, doctors. They, at first, many doctors were men, but nowadays they're incorporating women as well. So I cannot say it's about gender, but it's about what a person is able to take into practice and what a person is able to put so that people will be helped by it. And it's all about development in the healthcare, you know, facilities. So we need people, everyone, regardless of gender. Yeah.
That was Blessing Gatsi speaking to Tobias Mudzingwa of Studio 7. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. And we're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And today we are discussing the country's healthcare delivery system and the challenges it is facing. To discuss the matter, we are joined via Skype by Dr. Simbiso Ranga, a Zimbabwean medical doctor based in North Carolina, and Todd Maforimbo, a human rights defender who has been actively involved in healthcare matters in the United Kingdom. Welcome to Live Talk, gentlemen.
Hello, Margulis. Hello, viewers. I look forward to the discussion.
Thank you very much. I'll start off with you, Dr. Simbiso Ranga, here in North Carolina. You just saw, and we all just saw, a number of nurses graduating, and the government and the new minister, Mombeshwara, promising that they are going to be able to better the remuneration package and also working conditions of those that have graduated. What's your view?
Marvelous. It's very exciting to see all these young people graduating from nursing school in Zimbabwe. We do have a shortage of nurses and doctors across Zimbabwe. That's just one of the many problems that our healthcare delivery system is facing. And I'm very excited for them. I'm excited for the country. And I hope that the Ministry of Health will do more to make sure that these nurses, the hype, the excitement they have continues once they start work. Thank you.
Thank you. There, I'll come to you, Mr. Todd Maforimbo, based in the United Kingdom. We've seen a lot of Zimbabwean nurses going to the United Kingdom on these so-called COS sponsorships. Tell us a little bit about that and your view of what we saw happening in Harare today.
Well, I must admit, it's a bit of a mixed emotions, mixed feeling kind of, experience, because we are very talented and very gifted as Zimbabweans, and I'm really happy to see people achieving. And I think the biggest challenge we face in Zimbabwe is we don't have an enabling environment for these people who have, you know, dedicated so much time, effort, and money to developing themselves into a profession that they really, really love. And the challenges that we're facing, economic challenges and, you know, lack of actual resources, good resources within Zimbabwe to enable, you know, a good healthcare delivery is forcing these people to want to leave the country. And we find a lot of them coming into the UK to the healthcare system where, although remuneration is very good, now we're seeing that there's an influx or an overflow of people coming into the UK, and some of them are being brought in by these business people who don't even know how to run the business, and they end up in very difficult situations where they don't have an income and in very challenging positions where some of them are actually returning back to Zimbabwe, and we see some of them losing their lives just to seek a better future. Zimbabwe has the potential, you know, to provide a good working environment, but at the moment, I think a lot needs to be asked of the Minister of Health, to be honest.
Thank you. I'll come back to you, Dr. Ranga. If the Ministry of Health, for example, were to say you have been in the United States, what would you say you have learned here that Zimbabwe can also emulate in trying to retain its workforce after graduation?
Thank you, Marvelous. That's a very critical question. Of course, whenever we talk about how our healthcare delivery system could be better, you talk about the United States, United Kingdom, what they are doing. A lot of people will say, hey, that's beyond our reach. I think the truth of the matter is how much we are prioritizing the healthcare delivery system in our country. So, in America, the healthcare delivery system is about saving lives, whether people can afford it, can't afford it. So the way governments here operate at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level, is to ensure that anybody who needs healthcare, they get the healthcare at their point where they come across the healthcare delivery system, whether it's somewhere in the rural areas in Zimbabwe or whether it's in our capital city in Harare or in Bulawayo. So there is a lot in terms of how much financing is required to adequately support our healthcare delivery system. The World Health Organization and other organizations like United Nations, they talk about certain allocations of the budget that should go the national budget. That should go towards the healthcare delivery system. I think the recommendation is above 11%. I don't think as a country we are there yet. We need to do that. And in America, there is much more going on in terms of healthcare financing, in terms of technological advancement, in terms of making sure that our nurses and doctors are adequately remunerated. If they are not happy with the remuneration they are getting, they should be able to bargain for better salaries. And that is why you see a lot of the nurses and doctors in Zimbabwe, they are bargaining with their feet. They are in the country for greener pastures. I'm one of those people with, you know, whether it's a good or bad thing, who decided that maybe I should go to America and see how it will work out for me. It has worked out great so far, but I wish that most of the people who graduate in our country would see that they could serve in our country and still be able to take care of their families.
Thank you there. I'll come to you, Mr. Maforimbo. You've just heard what Dr. Ranga said, that he's amongst one of those doctors that graduated in Zimbabwe but had to find greener pastures elsewhere. What can Zimbabwe do to retain doctors and nurses? We saw, you know, 130 medical personnel graduating today, and the minister promising that they were going to fix the situation of the remuneration packages. But we've some critics are saying they've heard that before.
Yes. So again, I think that the biggest point, or our biggest sticking point in Zimbabwe, is the lack of an enabling environment. Mm-hmm. So we get, like I said, Zimbabweans are highly skilled, extremely highly skilled. But the people who are in positions of authority or people who make decisions about Zimbabwe's healthcare do not prioritize healthcare, just as the doctor said. You know, to them, they can fly out of the country and get medical treatment from Zimbabwean doctors abroad who are working in other countries. And you would think they would learn that investment is key. Zimbabwe is rich in mineral wealth. It is rich in resources. It is rich in the mental capacity. We've got the people who are at the top of their game, just like Dr. Ranga there. He's a doctor in the States, you know. This could be a doctor in Zimbabwe delivering good health care. We've got the facilities, we've got the resources, but it's the mismanagement. And as rightly said, people are voting with their feet. We need to be able to sit at the table with our leaders and explain to them and tell them the things that we have learned being abroad, the things that can work for our country, our people. These things are not rocket science, and they do not cost the earth. They are very, very affordable. We look at things like, you know, machines that we can use. We've got a good case here of a young man, a young artist who passed away simply because there was not electricity in the town he was at. There was not the equipment to do the scans. There was no oxygen available. When you have a country running out of oxygen in its healthcare system, I don't even know how to describe that.
Thank you there. Over to you, Dr. Ranga. Have you been able to have, you know, like a symbiotic relationship with some of the doctors and medical personnel in Zimbabwe to share some of the experiences that you are having here in the United States?
Thank you, Marvelous. Yes, the answer is yes. We communicate as healthcare professionals across the spectrum. We have doctors in Zimbabwe, we have doctors in the United Kingdom, like my brother Maforimbo there is explaining. We do work with some of them, some of the leadership for healthcare delivery. I know I could name some people here, like former Minister of Health, Dr. Mazorere, and others, that we continuously talk about what should happen. So I mean, many groups of Zimbabwean doctors in the diaspora, everybody knows that we can do better as a country. We have what it takes to do better as a country. However, I think that the consensus from talking to most of the doctors, whether they be in Zimbabwe or in the United Kingdom or in the United States, is that we just have not done a good job. You should not have a situation where someone gets into an accident, like my brother Maforimbo was talking about. You go to a hospital, they don't have enough oxygen or the electricity, they don't have generators, things like that. Those are very basic things. Well, right now, we're dealing with the cholera outbreak, also talk of polio, things that should be eradicated in our country. So we talk about those things, marvelous, every single day with doctors and other healthcare providers like nurses, physical therapists across Zimbabwe, across the world, and we can do better as a country. We absolutely need to do better. That's what I would say.
But how receptive would you say the government is in, you know, taking up some of these ideas that you're bringing up in these groups that you have as professionals that have left Zimbabwe?
Well, I would say that the government, whether they are hearing us or they are not, at the end of the day, as a physician, when a patient comes in, I say, have I solved their problem? Whether the government is listening or not, we still have a lot of problems. I'm saying that to say, yes, the government leadership can listen, but unfortunately, I just think that the capacity to make sure that our healthcare delivery system is restructured and working properly, I don't think that that capacity is there. And that's also because the economy, our economy is in a mess. The government of the day has not done a good job to make sure that the economy is working, because when the economy is working, then people can also take care of their healthcare. And so all these things are intertwined. I'm saying that to say, I'm sure the government gets all these great ideas from all of us across the world, and I'm sure they mean well. However, the capacity to deliver on what could be better, I think that's what's lacking. We need a rethinking of our governance system so that we can deliver healthcare to every Zimbabwean system, you know, citizen consistently. And I don't think that, I'm not saying they don't have the will. I think that the means is what's lacking. And I don't think that without a rethink of how we govern, how we run our country, we're going to get there.
Thank you there. I'll turn over to you, Mr. Maforimbo, for a roundup of your last word as we wrap up our discussion today.
Yes, thank you, Marvelous. For the first time, I'm actually going to dispute what my brother, Dr. Ranga, has just said there.
Go ahead.
The capacity is there. It's the will that is not there. The capacity is there. Is if you just look at government expenditure on things that don't bring value, things that don't add value to our country. The amount of forex that's, you know, being externalized from our country, the amount of resources, raw mineral, that is not even value added, that's leaving the country. In the past, I've exposed and shown that on a weekly basis, 130, 150 kilos of gold is leaving the country to Belgium. If we were to add value to, you know, what we are doing in our country, we have got the capacity. But because it will destabilize, you know, those who are benefiting, those who are enjoying the perks of being at the top, we then don't see government uptake of the help that's on, you know, that's available. There are many Zimbabweans, just as Dr. Ranga is in many groups. I'm in many groups. I've probably got about 10 WhatsApp groups of people wanting COSs on Instagram, Telegram, all those places. People are dying to leave. So if you look at all those people who have trained themselves, are well qualified to work in the health system, the thing that's missing is the place to work, which comes down to the resources on the ground. So we can afford to build hospitals in Zimbabwe. We can afford to generate and, you know, enough electricity. We can afford to even make our own medication, to import medicine. We can afford to even bring in foreign nationals to come and train us to get us up to speed. It's just the will that is not there.
Thank you so much. We're hearing there from Todd Maforimbo, who is a human rights defender. And also we had Dr. Simbiso Ranga, who's a practicing practitioner here in North Carolina. And that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye.